Hello. So I felt the subject of this a couple of weeks ago, and there's quite a lot of meat on this, more than what I've got time for. So I'll be going through this, but there's things to kind of dwell on and take back with you, and space for you to kind of look further into. So the title of my talk today is, "What is your name?" So a name is a word or set of words by which a person or thing is known by, addressed, or referred to. Your name is a title, and your name is family as well. So through different kind of cultures, different languages, there's different kind of meanings for names. So I've got a few which I've found, which I'll share with you. So you may know these things about your name already, or you don't, so it might be, you know, time for learning. So David means beloved. We've got Peter, which means stone or rock. Richard, brave, power. Samuel means the name of God, which is also, Samantha is the female version of Samuel, which is great. Susan means lily. Helen, shining light. Nicola, winner of the people, which I love that one. Luke, like light giving. John, Yahweh is gracious, so God is gracious. Nathan, God is given. So there you go, just dwell on. You may love your name, or you may have grown up thinking, what were my parents thinking? Sometimes we've had a bit of both. As well as your official name, you may have been given various nicknames over the years. I've kind of had my fair share of nicknames. So my maiden name was Phillips. So throughout Bible college, my friends nicknamed me Phyllis. I've also had Spangela, yeah, which got shortened to Spange, which I wasn't a favourite of mine. Sammy G, which is a Christian rapper name as well. Nothing like mine. And in my current workplace, they started calling me Sambola, which I've kind of vetoed because I was like, sounds too much like Ebola for my liking. The thing with names and nicknames is that you don't actually get a choice in the matter at all. When I started, it's a story about me. So I'm currently in a job that I've been in for 5 months and I'm leaving already. That's how great it is. But in my old workplace, I got given the name Sammy G, which I was like, oh, okay, I quite like that. I've never embraced Sammy before as a nickname. So I tried to bring it into my new workplace and that just doesn't work. You can't bring in a nickname at all, unfortunately. You know, some of us may be named after family members. That in itself can come with expectation or pressure of a life to live up to. So I was born Samantha Jane Phillips, now Goodway, and this shows a change in family, and what years ago showed a kind of a change in ownership, so to speak. I say years ago because we don't believe that anymore, do we? Also, titles and names that can be given are mum, dad, grandma, granddad, you know, those titles. And I think as well as nicknames and things like that, that you can choose, there are titles that get given out of kind of a love and a relationship that you have with people as well. So before even Luke and I were married, grandma, I call grandma, even though she isn't technically my grandma. That was just naturally a title because that's who she was. That's the kind of role that grandma has in our life. So there are titles like that that get given on us as well. And, you know, in Genesis, we see God creating everything that sometimes now we take for granted. But what he did as soon as he created something was he called it. So he called it heaven and earth. He called it land and sea. So he made something, he called it. There's a name straight away after creation. And God gave Adam the name of naming all of the animals. So he said, and whatever Adam called each living creature, that was his name. So God had spent all of his time creating all these things, and he gave Adam the right to name, which is such a powerful, powerful thing and a gift. So he shared the responsibility of creating with giving the right of Adam to name it. So when you were born, when God created you, what did he call you? When you look at our name, which may have earthly restrictions or limitations, we can look to God's names. And there's some on here. And when I first saw this, a love that Michelle and I share is Amy. She doesn't need a second name because we know she's Amy. So one of my favourite songs growing up was Amy Grant's song, El Shaddai. And I had this as a tape cassette that I bought in the church bookshop. And I would pretty much only have this song on. So the first tape I wore out by these, you know, fangled things called a tape cassette back in the day. Tape cassette, yeah, no. Rewind, fast forward to get to just this song. And I was looking at this and I was like, majority of the words in that song are in there. So the song in total was just praising the name of God and all of its kind of spheres and realms. So, you know, when we lack, when we're confused, when we're lost, when we're in need, when we are weak, God is all these things. He is God Almighty. He is the Lord of peace. He is the Lord of hosts. He is our shepherd. He is our righteousness. The Lord is there. Which I think a lot of times, if you think when you feel lost, when you feel alone, the Lord is there. When we live in this knowledge, in the assurance that God has got us, we can start exploring who he created us to be. And I'm going to turn to 1 Jeremiah. And this is quite a popular verse, so to speak. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctify you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Then I said, oh Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am a youth, for you shall go to all whom I have sent you. And whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. And I think there are so many times where God has already put in you what he created you to be. And straight away, you can throw something seemingly in the way to say, oh, I can't do that. For whatever reason, I can't do that. But God's already given you what you need. And again, in 1 Samuel verse 16, this is where Samuel was seeking out who to anoint as the king. And he gets shown all of these sons. And in chapter 16, verse 6, it says, so it was when they came and he looked on Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before me. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see it as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And again, there are so many times where we can feel that we are not qualified, or that the person next to us is actually better than we are at a certain job. But thank the Lord that he doesn't look at the outward appearance. Thank the Lord that he doesn't think the way that man thinks, that he has got something else, because he knows you, because he made you. Someone said the other day, if you were having a problem with your car, the best place to take it to is the garage that made the car. So if you've got a Volkswagen, take it to a Volkswagen garage. Yes, it may be more expensive, but the people there know that car. They know how it's made. Similarly, when we're trying to figure out our life and our questions and our, you know, go back to the person who made you, because he knows how you work. He knows how he's wired you. So what makes you, you? When your gifts don't meet the role that you play in life, you can sometimes feel like a square peg in a round hole. Not only does it produce limited results, but it is also an enormous waste of your talents, your time, and your energy. Eric Ries writes, "You are a unique work of divine art. Like an original painting or sculpture, you are one of a kind. There is no one else like you." So you can have people in your friendship group that you may have things in common with, you may have similar personality traits, but there is only one like you. There will always be differences amongst friends. So whenever God gives us an assignment, he always equips us with what we need to accomplish it. Whatever God made you to be determines what he intended for you to do. So all the jobs I've had since coming out of Bible college have been out of convenience for wherever Luke has been and whatever church we've been in. So when I came out of Bible college, I was going to be going to do a PGCE, and that didn't work out for whatever reason, which I now know. But we were getting married, and it's like, I need a job. I need some finances to come in. So through a sister-in-law, managed to get a job kind of in the hotel industry, which started me off. And wherever we've gone, there's always been a hotel that I've been able to work in. So we've always gone from God sending Luke and us to a church, but me having to just find a job that fitted in with that, that would help kind of pay the bills. And as I said, I got made redundant, and I just needed to get into another job. And Luke and I sat and had a conversation, and it was like, maybe this is the time that we think about what I'm supposed to be doing. What can I do? Because, you know, I'd love to work for the church, but at this time it's just not the right timing. So what can I do? What can I fulfill in a purpose? And we saw that there was a job available in a Christian charity, but I just missed the deadline for it. So I kind of emailed them my CV and said, I'd love to work for you. If anything comes up, please bear me in mind. Just got another job at another hotel, which is a very nice hotel. So it's the St. David's Hotel and Spa in Cardiff. So nice 5-star hotel to work for. And it is the best hotel that I have worked for. And lovely people there. And I just got on with work. And, you know, Luke said to me, have you had much thought about what you want to do? And I was like, well, I'm just too busy trying to learn this new job. I haven't had the time when I get home. I just want to, you know, relax. So we kind of left it there, really, didn't we? And then I was out with work, and we do a bit of spying, basically, on other hotels. And it was my turn to spy. Whilst I was out, I noticed that I had a missed call on my phone and a voicemail. And so I listened to the voicemail, and it's this man from the charity. And he was like, don't know if you remember, but you've sent us an email a while back and said to keep you in mind, and I thought I'd let you know that we've got a job available which I'd like to talk to you about, so just give me a call back. So I give him a call back, and he's like, we want to give you first refusal before we advertise it out on our website. Wondered if you're interested in applying. So he sends me this email, and it's a job which I could do, but didn't think that it was for me. So I was working in kind of their warehouse and looking after all of their resources and making sure that they were stocked up and organized correctly and got given to the right departments when they were doing a conference or something like that. And I thought, you know, I could do that. One of the main responsibilities was to lift heavy boxes every day. And I thought, well, I could probably do the odd one, but not on a daily basis. So I was like, well, how do I go back and say no, but still keep the door open? So I carefully crafted an email which said that I don't think this best fits my skill set, but still very interested in working for the charity. The gentleman replied, not with much content in his email, but two more job opportunities, of which one was fitting for me and what I'd learnt in the kind of secular realm in hotels. So I applied, and it's taken a very long time to get there, but basically I went for my second interview, and he's talking around, and he said, you'll soon realize that people may refer to you as this. And then in my head I'm like, I'll get to know. And he's like, if you haven't guessed it, we're offering you the job. So I was like, oh, fantastic. And straight away it's like, oh, I've got to hand my notice in on a job I've only been in for 4 months. But I knew it was the right thing. And it has come at a timing where lots of things are happening in mine and Luke's life. You know, this job is a permanent position. It's less hours and more money than what I was earning in hotels. And it's just a chance for me to work in a Christian charity where they work for families. And it's a start of me being able to work for more than a profit for a big company, but a chance for me to kind of use the giftings that God has given me for his purpose, that to help families, even at the moment, if that will be indirectly. So I got to this place where I was wondering, what am I supposed to be doing? What am I wired for? And it brought me on to this book that a lot of this is come from. But basically, Rick Warren decides to unpack this in the word shape. So what is your shape? So what are your spiritual gifts? What is your heart? What are your abilities? What's your personality? And what are your experiences? So, spiritual gifts, a set of special abilities that God has given you to share his love and serve others. Heart, the special passions that God has given you so that you can glorify him on earth. Abilities, a set of talents that God has given you when you were born. Personality, the special way God wired you to navigate life. Experience, those parts of your past, both positive and painful, which God intends to use in great ways. Now, we start with S, spiritual gifts. You know, the whole issue of spiritual gifts may seem mysterious and complicated and difficult, but in fact, the opposite of that is true. You know, God has given us a wonderful gift, and he doesn't make it difficult to discover what those are. The spiritual gift God gives you are neither for you or about you. And I think that's quite a big thing as well. It's not to show yourself off, it's to show God off in your life. And, you know, the purpose is to bless the body of the church. Now, discovering your spiritual gifts is not the ultimate goal. It's using them to bless others, which is the ultimate goal. So some examples of some gifts are administration. Organising resources and people. You may naturally be able to delegate tasks quite easily. You understand what needs to be done for dreams to become a reality. And I know there are several people here that have that gift. And it is a blessing because things can't happen without that gift. Encouragement is a spiritual gift. You know, helping others to live God-centered lives through inspiration, through encouragement, through counseling and empowerment. Again, I know there's people in here that have that gift. Discernment, recognizing truth or error within a message, a person or an event. You find it easy to kind of read people. And you can kind of identify people's true motives or agendas. That's always an interesting one. Sometimes I think discernment kind of comes in the niggling back of your head and you think, is this God's discernment or is this human thinking? What's going on here? But that's normally sometimes the way that God helps you discover your gifts, is that they're naturally in you anyway. And it's just asking God, what is it that you've put in my life? And to start growing on those. Because that's something that I had to do. Another gift is hospitality, providing others with a warm and welcoming environment for fellowship, a desire that people feel loved and welcomed. Mercy, ministry to those who are suffering physically, emotionally, spiritually, or relationally. Actions are normally characterized by love, care, compassion towards others. So there's just a few examples there of how spiritual gifts are used. And you may have more than one. You may have a couple and they will uniquely fit in a different way. So you may have someone else that has the gift of hospitality, but then that's linked with encouragement or discernment. It kind of creates like a patchwork quilt there, which is what a church is. All these different kind of facets fixed together. And when we serve in areas that best match our giftedness, we experience a greater fulfillment. I'm going to have to move on to heart. So our heart reflects our dreams and our desires. Rick Warren writes, God has given you a unique heartbeat that races when we think about different subjects, different activities or circumstances that interest us. We instinctively care about some things and not about others. These reveal the nature of your heart. I thought that was quite interesting. It is okay to care about some things and not others, because likewise, someone else will care about what you don't care about, vice versa. So just some things to think about then about your heart. So what drives you? What do you care about? What needs will you meet? What cause will you help to conquer? And what is your ultimate dream for God's kingdom? And that kind of reminds me of, you know, what you guys are doing in Africa. So there are different people here that have different passions for that project, different areas that, you know, is their heart, which makes them tick. So I know, like, Pete in particular is all about the school and the children, and that's a great thing to have. That's what drives him. That's what his passions. You know, what are you there to help conquer? You're helping people to children to get education. You're there helping them to build support within the family, that people across the world care about them enough to support them in their life. And, you know, ultimately that will affect God's kingdom. Moving on to A, abilities. What are you naturally good at? Throughout life, you will discover things you naturally love to do. This means that there are certain things that you can live without doing. Maybe you already use your natural abilities for God, so a lot of people are already experiencing those. But have you ever considered that God has actually got more? So instead of, you know, stopping where you are and I'm, you know, I am, you know, leading worship and that's the giftings and that's the heart that I have, that it might not necessarily stop just there. There may be more that God has for you. And if you stop, if you camp out at that, you will miss what God has for you that will stretch you as a person and also stretch the church. God never finishes showing his purpose as long as we never stop seeking it. So he's always got more. The more we seek, the more he will reveal. So we are made to be used by God. You know, there are tasks in life that we love, like, and could live without. And one of the books I was reading has kind of a list of subjects which you can put next to. Do I love this? Do I like this? Can I live without this? And sometimes I think we can crowd our life thinking that we have to do everything. And there's a lot of things that we could live without that take up our energy, take up our time, stress us out, burn us out, where someone else could love or like doing those things. So it's knowing that you're not supposed to be a superhero and do everything for everyone, is to become comfortable with you, who you are, and know that it's okay for you to do things and not do some other things as well. As I said, over a group of people, we will all have different lists, and that's what makes us a strong unit. Everyone working to their strengths affects the overall outcome and effectiveness. Move to P, personality. We need all kinds of personalities to balance the church and to give it some flavour, which I love flavour. And if all of us were the same, it would be quite boring. You know, you need flavour, you need things to, you know, a sense of humour to get you through a circumstance, you know. You need those things, God help us, you need a sense of humour, because God has one as well, praise the Lord. You need flavour in life. You know, we've been talking in our church, now, as we grow, there are going to be certain characters that could come into church that have a flavour that you're not used to, you know. When you go to Nando's, you can pick your flavour choice, your spice level. You know, some of us are lemon and herb. Some of us are extra hot. Some of us are in between. Personally, I'm a medium. But in life, there are going to be different flavours. There are going to be different types of people. And that's okay. We're not all supposed to fit into a mould, which I think some people think church is. You know, you go in one person, you get transformed, which is right, you do get transformed, but you get transformed to who God created you to be, not who the pastor wants you to be. You know, not who the deacons want you to be, not who, you know, we've gone through this of when we came to the Cunham Valley. I thank God for Luke, and when he spoke to the elders about me, it wasn't a buy one, get one free offer. You know, they didn't get Luke. and then they could take advantage of me. And there are many times that I've lost count of being asked to do the youth work or the kids work. And I've done that before in my other churches, and there were times where I did that, but I just didn't quite feel that that was right for me in this current church. And even when they know that I'm getting a job now, which is a 9-to-5, hallelujah, they were like, great, we can use Sam more. And it's like, well, I am going to be around more, and I'm looking forward to that, but that doesn't automatically mean that I'm going to be doing X, Y, and Z, you know, because where God's called me right now isn't youth work, and it would drain me, and it would annoy me. It really would. It's just not good for people. We got to that point when we were still in Bristol, actually, that I came back from doing a degree in youth work. And I realised that it just really somewhat made me angry on a Friday night. Why are they making a mess? I have to clean it up afterwards. Obviously, they're not thinking those things. They're just having a good time, and that's fine. And Luke was the one causing most of the mess. So, you know, when people are getting pied in the face and stuff like this, I was the one putting all the black bags around the floor so that, you know, it was less mess to clean up afterwards. And I realised that I was restricting the young people. I was restricting their experience of church. That, yes, it can be fun. Yes, it is messy. Yes, it doesn't matter. And I realised I had to step out of that, and that was okay for Luke to carry on doing that and for me to have a Friday night catching up on television. That was okay, because it was draining me, it was not good for me, and it wasn't good for the young people as well, because I became a finger-wagging person, which, you know, no one likes to finger-wag. No? Okay. Your personality takes centre stage in all areas of your life. God created us to relate differently, feel differently, react differently, and respond to life differently. What stresses me out won't necessarily stress you out. What you enjoy won't be something that I would necessarily enjoy. And that's okay. Yeah. You know, they say that with parents. A mother will parent a certain way, and a father will parent a certain way. It doesn't mean that the mother or father are wrong. It's just a different way of parenting, and a child needs those differences to form a whole unique person. You need to do silly things that dads can do without worrying about if they're going to get hurt or how messy that their jeans are going to get or holes that might be formed in clothes. And they need the mother's love and warmth in spitting on a piece of tissue and wiping your face with it. You know, balance is what you need. Some of us are outgoing. Some of us are reserved. Some of us are self-expressive. Some of us are self-controlled. Some of us cooperate. And some of us are competitive. Some prefer to work in a team, others like working solo, others like to follow, others like to lead. Some people like routine, and other people like variety. Some people like people, and other people just would like to focus on a project. Some people like high-risk situations, and other people prefer low-risk situations. All these things are absolutely fine, because that's the way that you've been wired. You know, and some of us may change and cross over sometimes. I would feel like I like to cooperate and be with a team with someone, but also I am extremely competitive, and so is my husband, so that's a great combination. I won 2 games of Scrabble this week in a row. We didn't play after that. It was good. It would be hard to fulfill your kingdom purpose if you take on ministry opportunities that don't align with the way that God has fashioned you. Each of us can work outside of our personality pattern for a while. You know, sometimes it's good to be stretched, sometimes needs must, and you have to cover these things. That's okay. But if you continually stay outside of your own personality style, you will be ineffective for God. Also, you could be taking up a position that someone else could be that's called for that area. So sometimes it's okay to step out even if you don't know who's going to step in your place. Sometimes you need to walk first, knowing that God's got that situation and you don't know who's going to fulfill that role. Whenever I've felt about leaving a job, I am a people person, and I am someone that thinks a lot about other people's feelings. And that took a long time. When I accepted redundancy, that took a lot in that place, because I thought, well, who's going to do my job after me? What is that office going to look like without me there? I don't know where they're going to find a replacement. And your head can be thinking all these things. And I just realised that I had to step out of that situation for my good. And life went on, and the you know, work went on. But sometimes if you don't think about yourself, you could be stopping other things from happening for you, but for other people and other groups as organisations as well. So this takes us to E, experiences. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." There is a purpose in your past. God uses all of our experiences, the good, the bad, the ugly, to flesh out the finished product. You would not be you without your past. You know, that is what has made you. That's what has fashioned you. The key experiences in your life have helped shape who you are today. Our past hurts or mistakes help to guide us and advise other people. It helps with your empathy level, I feel, when you've been through similar things. I'm going to show this. I love this quote. "Life can only be understood backwards, but it must be lived forwards." I don't know about you, but many times you can look back on your life and think, oh, that's why that happened. But when you were going through it, what? It was mental. But you can only live life forwards. Before our experiences, we can be fully used by God for the benefit of others. We must let go of their hold on our lives. I was reminded throughout the worship and the different words that were spoken. About 8 years ago, God gave me this picture of a tree in autumn. And as you can tell, what happens with trees in autumn is that their leaves fall. And God showed me that sometimes we are that tree, and we are holding on to different leaves, so to speak. And that can be our season. And there are things on our tree that we don't want to let go of. And what has to happen for those leaves to fall is a storm, you know, quite some disruptive weather to get those final leaves for you to let go. And what happens when a tree has lost all its leaves? You can say that that's quite a vulnerable tree. It's had to let those things go. But why? For a new season. So there are times where God will ask you to let go of things, because he's got better for you and is knowing to unleash your grip to allow those things to go. Because I don't know about you, but I don't want a storm. And as difficult as those can be, sometimes it's like, what, you know, but I really don't feel like I need to let go of that, or that person really hurt me, so I'm going to carry on holding on to that hurt. And actually God's like, well, just let it go, because I've got something else that can go in your hand that's going to be better for you. And to sometimes let that go to avoid the storm is obviously going to be beneficial overall. Yes, you will learn through that storm. And sometimes that needs to happen to kind of shake us up and make us realize what God has for us. And there will be a time where you will feel vulnerable, but a new season is coming. You may have to wait months for that, but you don't know what's going deep down inside the DNA of the trees that's going to produce spring. That thing that tree was designed to do, it will do. You know, it knows when the right time is to bear fruit. It knows when the right time is to produce branches, to sometimes let a branch go. And that's okay. Our human tendency is to believe that we possess the ability to sort out our own mess without God having to intervene. Sometimes that can come from the most mature Christians as well. Like, no, I got this. If you're used to being a fixer in life, because that's another personality or ability, is to a person that's a fixer. No, I can do this. Just give me the space and I can fix it out. Don't want to bother God with this. Which is silly when you think about it, but there's probably been quite a few times where we've done that. And, you know, as I've said again, God's wired you. God knows you. He wants you to give up those things so that he can use those and transform those. When Luke and I were dating, so we met when we were 11. I don't know if many people know this. And all the kind of little relationships that you have growing up, we just had with each other. So it was a bit like Ross and Rachel. So we're on again, off again, on again, off again. Fun times. But there were things that we learned through that process. There were times of letting each other go because we had our own stuff that we needed to sort through before we could become two whole people that could be together and do this life journey together. You know, sometimes that there are people in your life that you need to let go of. And it's not letting go of in here, do it yourself. It's giving people space to grow. It's giving space for them to breathe, to figure out who they are, but so that their reliance isn't on you, it's on God. And that is a hard, sometimes can be a hard thing, letting people go. But it's knowing that the person that you're letting them go to knows what they're doing. To fully be able to live life, live out who you were meant to be, to fulfill our purpose, your purpose, to know our name, we need to look again to God's names. He will take our life experiences like parts of a recipe. So many of you know I like baking, and this came to me yesterday. So God can take the eggs that could have been, the richness of butter, the flavour of chocolate, and the mess of flour, which flour is a mess. And over time, because it takes time, sometimes it takes pressure, sometimes it takes kneading, at the right temperature, that will produce something that will bring flavour to a home, that will bring enjoyment to a family. But you need to know that God will use all of your different experiences for that overall result. But you need to let him do that. They say you've got to break eggs to make an omelette. You know, sometimes you need these things. You need life to happen to you to be able to find out who you are. Because only you can be you. And that sounds so simple. But how much do we need to hear that sometimes? Only you can be you. So who are you? What is your name? What has God called you to be? What is your shape? What abilities do you have that other people might not have? What does your heart beat for? What are you passionate about? What does your personality bring to that? Because that brings colour, that brings flavour. And to know that your experiences, God won't stop you from doing something because you've had a bad experience. God won't use you because you've got a broken family. Because you've done stuff in the past, you've had addictions, you've had depression or anxiety. God will use all of those things for who you are. Because he was with you through all those things. He didn't leave you. He was with you every single step of your journey. Even when you didn't feel him, he was there, he is there. So know that God is with you. God created you to be you, warts and all. And he's accepted you. And sometimes that we need to realize it's okay to be me. It's okay that I've done these things and I've messed up before. And I can step in to how God is going to use that. How can I help people that have been in those situations before? How can I help people that are struggling with depression? How can I just be with someone when they don't need advice, they just need a presence? You know, they just need that arm around their shoulder, where they don't need to be told every single step of their journey. And although it's nice that, you know, life can be understood backwards, but you've got to live it forwards. Another Amy song. Thy word is a lamp unto your feet. God will only show you a footstep at a time. Because we'd be pretty overwhelmed by the bigger picture if we saw it. Because each step you learn something. Each step you grow into who he's made you to be, to cope with that situation later on down the line. So if you never went through all those experiences, you'll never be able to do what God has called you to do. The people that he has got for you to help. it's never too late and it's never too early to figure out your purpose. I fully believe that everyone, whilst everyone is still on this planet, God still has a plan for them. From the oldest person. Luke had a great grandma, and whenever we visited her, she would always say, "I don't know why God's kept me here. I don't know why I'm still here." And it made me realise, and it made me think actually, what is Nanny here for? And she had different carers coming in every single day. And she might have been the only Christian that they had contact with, you know? And to live your life when you're in your 90s and you've got your different ailments, but you still know who God is, amen, and you still praise who he is, yeah, that's what she showed to those people. Yeah. And that's the purpose that she still had. She showed God's love to people, yeah, where they might not have experienced that before. And through all the physical things that she could have been fed up with, she still had a purpose. So no matter where you are on life's journey, whether you're trying to still figure stuff out, because life is, we are all trying to still figure stuff out, is knowing that God has got you. He knows your shape, and he wants you to figure out what that is as well for you. To know that it's okay to let go of things that drain you, because someone else will pick that up, and that's not your responsibility to figure that out. And that he has got a plan for you that is just for you. And that may be working with the church and the bigger purposes and the bigger missions that you have, the things over Christmas with the homeless people. But that is up to you. Some of you will be like, yeah, I want to help out with that. That's me. And other people will be like, not too sure about that. And that's okay. But where else can you serve? Where else has God got you? What are you doing in your workplace? Because I believe everyone is in their workplace for a reason. You know? And it doesn't matter what type of workplace that is, whether that is a secular place or not. And secular is a thing that I don't like speaking about. Because someone said before, Rebel, with people in biblical times didn't go up to each other and go, "How's your spiritual life?" Because it was just their life. There was no separation between your secular life and spiritual life and things like that. As a whole, that is your life. Everything in that thing is your life. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. You may not even know what it is that you're supposed to do or think, how can I achieve that? But God can do exceedingly abundantly above all we can even ask or think. So something you've not even thought about yet is where God wants to take you. I'm going to close there.